If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
As we talk about now, a topic that actually you have all asked me to talk about, in a sense. And also law enforcement friends of mine said, Steve, you need to bring this up. So January 1st, if I'm understanding right, and we have Illinois State Police Director Brendan Kelly on the phone. So, Director Kelly, thank you very much for joining us, first of all.
No problem. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and a belated Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you.
After January 1st, cannabis is legal in this state being the state of Illinois. And the law enforcement friends that I have said, and I did some research online, as you can research anything online, so I did that. And I learned that they were absolutely right. The Colorado public officials that are even supportive of cannabis, as well as law enforcement in Colorado, say that they didn't expect necessarily as many accidents as occurred after their law was passed. Now, I don't know how many years ago, 6 years ago, somewhere in there, when their law was passed statewide to legalize marijuana or cannabis in Colorado, that is what they saw, including fatal accidents. So now what they're saying and what they've said is that other states that pass this, good for you, that's fine, but you need to have some protections in place so this doesn't happen in your state. So my first question is, in Illinois, is there a plan, is there a program of prevention? You know, we have Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, right? And we have all these other programs. Is there such a thing, at least an education program, to help educate even well-meaning drivers that have taken cannabis? That's the longest question I think I've ever asked anyone.
Well, let me see if I can answer it the best I can. Bottom line is yes. There's a conservative effort to make sure that people understand what the limitations are. Now, when you talk about legalization, this is not an anything-goes type scenario. There's legalization in terms of legal activity involving cannabis in really two limited scenarios. Now, one of those scenarios is for medical purposes, and the other scenario is for adult recreational use. But even under adult recreational use, there's some obvious limitations. And luckily, in the state of Illinois, we have the benefit of seeing how some states have had some tough lessons learned, and we are taking those lessons learned and trying to adapt them here as society's views on cannabis have changed. The laws are changing with them. And as with any change that occurs in society, it's up to law enforcement and people in charge of public safety to make sure that we set some rails and some limitations on this, and are trying to protect public safety for legal conduct as much as possible. And within that, it's not just enforcement. That'll be, of course, a big part of it, and everybody wants to make sure that that law is properly enforced, and the Illinois State Police are very much committed to that. But part of making that effort successful is educating people about what the law really says, what you can and can't do. Mm-hmm. And in Illinois, residents of Illinois, they can only have 30 grams of cannabis flower, that leafy, dried leafy substance, which people commonly call weed or any other number of names, only 30 grams. And you can only have 500 milligrams of THC-infused product. That's things like food or a beverage or oil or ointment or butter or some kind of topical ointments that are not intended to be smoked but may have THC or cannabis-related products in them. And you can only have 5 grams of a cannabis concentrate. And that's a product which may be extracted through the use of solvents or other types of medicine called dab or vape products. And that's for Illinois residents. And if you're an out-of-state resident, you're coming into the state, you can only have 15 grams of cannabis flower, and you can only have 250 milligrams of THC-infused product, and only 2.5 grams of a cannabis concentrate. So stricter limitations if you're not from this state.
Director, very quickly, and then I need to break for commercials. This seems, I mean, I'm trying to write down all these numbers as you're talking. I mean, how are people supposed to remember all of that?
But if you're in Illinois, 30 grams. Don't have more than 30 grams if you're an Illinois resident of a leafy substance. Now, if you go to a legal dispensary, somewhere you're buying this legally, the labels should all be on there that tell what the amount is of the product that you're getting if you're buying a THC-infused product. So as someone who's out there who's a consumer who may be considering doing this, you need to be armed with information. All this stuff is available online, and I'm here trying to provide this information right now. So it's 30 grams, and if you're not from this state, it's only 15 grams.
All right. More to ask you when we come back. Good afternoon. Steve Dale here on WGN for RoCon. Excited to be here. It's an honor to be here. And really, based on what you've told me, I'm talking now with Illinois State Police Director Brendan Kelly about cannabis. And boy, Director Kelly, I have lots of questions here for you. One of the questions, actually, it's more of a comment in part. Stop, dude, the texter says. Stop the marijuana accident stuff. You're making that up. I don't think I'm making that up. I believe what I say is true about Colorado. And I think the Colorado, both public officials and law enforcement, don't want to see what happened there happen in other states. If I'm incorrect about that, tell me.
Well, there's lots of different data from different states that have legalized this, and it's really up to the, you know, the policymakers in Springfield and the legislature that have voted, obviously, about this already, to sift through all that. And I think there's differing opinions about what the impact is and whether the data means one thing or another. But our job right now under this circumstance is to make sure that we're educating the public and that this is done as safely as possible here in the state. And that's why we need to make sure people know that this is not an anything goes type of scenario. There are limitations. The law has to be enforced. And really, in the end, it comes down to common sense. I mean, you can talk until you're blue in the face about the various nuances of the statute and what this limitation means or that amount means. But in the end, it's about common sense. And a lot, frankly, will change on January 1st in terms of enforcement. You can't be driving around in your vehicle high on cannabis. That's not safe. Just as it's not safe to drive under the influence of alcohol or opioids or fentanyl or heroin. And we're going to be enforcing that. And all local law enforcement is going to be enforcing that. And they'll be doing it professionally, and they'll be doing it smartly and with discretion. But it's still against the law to drive under the influence of cannabis. And if you're under 21, you cannot drink legally. And if you're under 21, you can't be using cannabis legally. And that will be the law of the land come January 1st as well. And people need to remember that. And if you're in a vehicle and you're transporting an amount of cannabis that has legally been purchased here in the state and it's below the legal limit, it still has to be reasonably inaccessible. And it has to be in a sealed, odor-proof, child-resistant container. And if you're an adult using cannabis, you can't be doing it around people that are under 21 years of age. Mm-hmm. So those are things that are just, again, they're common sense, and people know that that's not what you're supposed to do, and you need to observe the law. And if you observe the law, then you'll be good to go.
But there is no breathalyzer test, as I understand it, or anything like that, to determine exactly if the person has had too much. So how does law enforcement tell?
Well, the way the law was passed, there are limitations based on the amount that's in your bloodstream or in other bodily fluids, and that includes saliva. So what other states have done, and what we're implementing here in this state, and the Illinois State Police are taking the lead on this, is the purchase of procuring of equipment that are oral swabs that are as easy as using a breathalyzer, if not easier, in some circumstances, have been very effective in other states to be able to quickly determine if someone has an amount of cannabis or even other controlled substances in their system that are above the legal limit or impacts in a way they are unable to safely operate that vehicle. So that process has been ongoing. We've been preparing for that. We're in the process of procuring that instrumentation and doing the training that's also necessary, and also using new enhanced training techniques that are something that have been used in other states and we're implementing here. Drug recognition experts whose training have increased, advanced roadside impaired driving enforcement certifications. That's where an officer on the side of the road is able to look at a variety of factors, what kind of behaviors are being exhibited, what type of physical observations they're making about someone who's driving, and being able to use that to to determine probable cause to make an arrest for driving under the influence. So, but as with any new thing, we have to be smarter. We have to be on our toes, and we're trying to be prepared as possible. And there is a DUI cannabis task force, which was part of this law, that is requiring all of us in law enforcement, whether it's the state police or local police or sheriffs, as well as people on the other side of this issue, to come together to make sure that we implement these things in a way that is acceptable to the court and will hold up in court. And it's going to be an ongoing process. Look, 40 years ago, there weren't any breathalyzers for alcohol, and you had a lot of drunken driving. And there were a lot of law enforcement efforts and a lot of education. A lot of good was done to bring that down. And I think we have an opportunity to get ahead of it here as this change takes place.
And the part about getting ahead of it is the whole point of me having you on, and I think the whole point of what
Absolutely.
You're trying to communicate. Right. Bob in Des Plaines, you're on WGN. Hi.
Yes, I just have a quick question. It's regarding possession. I understand possession, 30 grams in your car, on your person. What about, you know, I know you're not going to be going into homes, but what about in your home? Can you have more than 30 grams in your home per adult?
That's not a limitation. And the amount that you have is anywhere in the state.
Yeah,
now, if you have a medical, whether it's in your home or whether it's on the street, you still can't have of that amount. Now, if you have a medical cannabis card, you are allowed to have up to five plants. That's the law. That was the compromise that was passed. So, but those home grows, if you're holding a medical cannabis card, you're limited to five plants that are 5 inches tall. So that's the law there. But you still can't have an amount, which is illegal.
Can I ask you a completely different question? By the way, thank you very much, Bob. And that completely different question, and then we'll get to more cannabis questions as well. You may have noticed New Year's Eve is right around the corner. And every year, despite all the public education, all that we do, I suppose the magic words, Director, that fall out of your mouth are public transportation, Uber, and Lyft?
Absolutely. I'm not here to endorse any particular product, but there's a lot of ways to get home safely without having to drive yourself home while you're drunk or under the influence of any type of controlled substance. So in this day and age, there's so many different options in terms of public transportation or other types of transportation that you can take advantage of through these apps that are just amazing. They're really putting a dent in the DUI defense industry, I hear, and that's probably a good thing. You're really helping a lot of people get home safely if you exercise that option. But if you're in a place that doesn't have that, and it's up to you, and it's your responsibility to make sure you have a designated driver and you get home safely and do not drive under the influence of alcohol. You're putting yourself at risk, and you're putting other people at risk, and you will encounter law enforcement if you do that, and you will be arrested and you will be prosecuted.
All right, very quickly, Rich and Joliet. Whoops. I did that wrong. Can you help me out? Rich and Joliet, you're on WGN, I think.
Yeah, I'd like to know, you know, I mean, if you can implement that for law enforcement, you know, where you could swab their mouth, why can't you do that in a workplace? Where if you smoked a joint the night before and you wake up the morning, you feel fine, why can't that be implemented where you, if you took a urinalysis test, you're going to be dirty? Why can't that work in the workplace at the same time where you swab the mouth?
Got it. Director?
Well, I'm not an employment lawyer, and I'm not here to discuss employment law, but obviously the statute that was passed does address some of those employment situations, I think, and what employers can and can't do. And I imagine that's going to be an evolving area of the law, as it is throughout this country, as those situations arise more and more. But tell you, I'm not an expert on employment law, but I'm sure there's somebody out there who is.
All right. And your expertise has helped us today. Thank you very much. Director, so nice to meet you, and I thank you much for taking the time out. I'll tell you, more of these conversations, I think, that happen, the more lives that are saved. And I know that is
absolutely
what you're about.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes, sir. And thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.